Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, reading verse 1 through 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Please open the Scriptures to us. Help us to see what "Thus saith the Lord" is. And Lord, I want Jesus Christ to be magnified. I want Him to be glorified. I want people to see the Lord, and not pitiful me, and not my denomination or what have you. I want them to see Jesus Christ. Please help us, Lord, to do that, to see the Lord, to see Jesus Christ through the Word of God as we preach it today. Thank you, Lord, and in that wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So this is a familiar passage, I'm sure. Some people like these verses, some people don't want to have anything to do with them, but pretty much every Christian has heard these verses or read them. And this is what the Bible says happened not that long after Jesus was crucified, was in the grave, and rose again. 50 days, actually, from his crucifixion, the day of Pentecost was fully come in. Fulfilled. The Old Testament prophecies, the Old Testament feast, what have you, was fulfilled on this day. But it says, and again, this was 9 o'clock in the morning, most likely, that these events happened. There was a great sound of wind, and fire came from heaven, and the disciples, however many it was, some say 120, I don't know, I guess that's right, I don't know how many it was. But they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God empowered them to do so. Again, a familiar passage. Pentecostal churches will take these verses and preach them again and again and again, what have you. But I want to ask the question, why did this happen? Why were they filled with the Spirit, and why did they speak in tongues? And as usual, I'm going to go to the Word of God, and I'm going to read a lot of Scripture to prove my points. But I don't care about me, and I don't care about my points, and I'm not here to tell you what I believe or what my denomination, I don't care about any of that. I want to know what the Lord says through His Word and what He has for us. This is part 8 of our Missing the Holy Spirit series. The subtitle is The Purpose Behind the Power. the purpose behind the power, the purpose, the reason for the infilling of the Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. If you know your Bible, you know what I'm going to say. This is the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you guys go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe everything I've said, everything I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age, when the end comes. And the book closes out, amen. This is the Great Commission. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. Just like Jesus said in Matthew, the last three verses of that book. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I've taught a sermon or two ago, I taught extensively about the Gentiles. Jesus came to the Jew first, but then the Gentiles. He didn't forget the Gentiles. You can go back to the book of Exodus. We know the story. Everybody's seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. The Jews today will practice what they call the Haggadah, the order of things that they say and what have you. But if you go to chapter 12, I believe it is, 11 and 12 of the book of Exodus, it says that when they set that table and they ate that unleavened bread, that they were supposed to leave a spot to set an extra place, what have you, for the stranger, for the Gentile, for the Gentile. As far back as you want to go, Genesis chapter 3, we see God reaching out, trying to win people, trying to save people. And again, this sermon is about that, winning lost souls and going to the Gentiles. Now, I'm a Gentile. 99% of the people listening to my voice, if it's on the radio or if it's on the download page on my website, the podcast, you're all not Jews. You're all Gentiles. And to us, hey, you know, we're the church, what have you. Our frame of reference is different. But the frame of reference of the Bible is, hey, salvation to the Jews, but don't forget the Gentiles. Don't forget the Gentiles. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 9 and chapter 10. We read about King Saul, the first king of Israel. God picked him out. God called him. God anointed him. God put his Holy Spirit upon him and empowered him to do great exploits, empowered him to lead the people, the nation of Israel. He did a lot of things wrong as well. He forsook God. He tried to kill David. I understand all of that. But I want to focus on what God did for him when he called him and filled him with the Holy Ghost. Looking at King Saul and how he was changed is instructive if we want to know about the Holy Spirit today, or the Holy Spirit in the early church, what have you, the change that happens in a man's life when God fills him with the Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeor, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. In other words, he was a soldier, he had strength and what have you. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. He was tall, and he commanded respect, and he had a strong and powerful and notable father, it says. And in verse 17, and when Samuel the prophet saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold the man whom I spake to thee of. This same shall reign over my people. Jumping to chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, verse 6, and verse 7, I'll read. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, a vial, a horn, or what have you, some container of olive oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Ghost, and poured it upon his head and kissed him, and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Verse 6, And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, the other prophets, and shalt be turned into another man. In other words, when he was filled with the Spirit, he would be turned into another man. We saw in the previous chapter all of the good qualities he had, and those were good from a human perspective. But when he was filled with the Spirit, when he was anointed to be king, when that oil was poured upon his head, which is a symbol of the anointing of the Spirit, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to prophesy, and you'll be turned into another man. You'll be changed. You'll not walk in your own abilities, which we listed. You'll walk in the power and abilities of God. And in verse 7, And let it be, when these signs are come upon thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Going back to Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. King Saul had that presence. And again, at a time or two, we studied about the Holy Spirit. We went to John chapter 14 and 15. And we saw that the Spirit of God comes to dwell in us. And in that way, in that fashion, by the agent of the Spirit of God, Jesus is with us always. Now, we're talking about Old Testament, the old economy, what have you. But still, the anointing of the Spirit would come to rest upon Saul, and he would be empowered to be the king of Israel. And this phrase, that you would be turned into another man, there's an entire sermon I could preach with that, about how God empowers us and changes us. And there's the personal benefit of being filled with the Spirit, in addition to the public benefit. And again, that's another sermon. I don't have time to chase that rabbit. But before we leave King Saul, there's something I want to draw your attention to. It says, when the Spirit of the Lord was to come upon King Saul, that he would begin to prophesy just as the other prophets were doing. You may remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul lists the gifts of the Spirit, that prophecy is one of those gifts. It's a gift of the Spirit. In verse 7 here, again, of 1 Samuel chapter 10, it says, And let it be when these signs are come upon thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee for God is with thee. It's a sign. The gifts of the Spirit is a sign, or are a sign, that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. We find it here in the Old Testament that one of the signs of being anointed or filled with the Spirit is the gift of prophecy is given to you. And we have, and again, I'm just taking a couple of verses here, but if you read the entire two chapters, you'll find exactly that, that the people remark that, hey, is King Saul also a prophet? And again, the prophesying is a gift of the Spirit that's a sign that you have been filled. At the beginning of the sermon here, at the beginning of the lesson, I read from Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that the wind came and the fire came, and the Spirit of God filled them and empowered them to speak with other tongues, with languages that they didn't know, they hadn't learned, they had no idea what they were saying. In the Old Testament, as we just read with King Saul, there was a sign that he had been filled with the Spirit, and that was that he prophesied. Acts chapter 2, the sign that's recorded that was given that they were filled was that they spoke in other tongues. Again, prophecy and tongues are two of the nine gifts of the Spirit that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in a later lesson, a later broadcast, we'll talk about these gifts of the Spirit perhaps in greater detail. But in Acts chapter 1, Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection and right before he went up to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, Jesus assembled together with them, with the disciples, and commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And we read verse 8 earlier, that when the Spirit would come, that they'd receive power to be witnesses of the Lord to the uttermost parts of the earth. Again, Jesus, we know the story, he was crucified for our sins, was in the ground 3 days, and then rose up, hung around for a few weeks, and then went to heaven. And he's there now. And we taught on this, that he can come to live in our hearts as we accept him into our life, as we repent of our sins and say, Lord, I believe the book, I'm going to live for you. The Spirit of God comes to dwell within us, and I've taught on that extensively. But before the disciples, who are now apostles, before they went out to do what he said in the Great Commission, which we read in Matthew 28, before you go out, Jesus said, make sure you stay here in Jerusalem till you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And again, in chapter 2 of Acts, that promise was fulfilled. But Jesus said, John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost in about a week. In Matthew and in Luke, the verses say the same thing, but I want to read it out of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It goes on to talk about the fan that's in his hand, and I preached on this before, that talks about sanctification and a warning that the end is coming. a warning that the end is coming, that Jesus will return. And we need to get right with him and live for him and do everything we can to fulfill the Great Commission. So John said, Jesus is coming, and that he was the one that would baptize with the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus is referencing right here in Acts chapter 1. Wait for that promise. John talked about it. I've told you about it. You wait here. Don't do nothing. Wait. Don't go out and start a ministry. Don't buy a tent and get on the road and do crusades. Don't do anything. Wait for the promise of the Father. It was important in the Old Testament we just read in 1 Samuel. It was important that God sent Samuel the prophet to Saul to anoint him to be king. And he was filled with the Spirit. And then he was empowered to be king of Israel. Jesus said, you disciples, you're apostles now, but before you go out, it's important that you wait. Wait in Jerusalem until you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and you receive this power that I've been telling you about. And again, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a verse I use many, many times, that the power they would receive when the Holy Ghost came upon them, that they would be witnesses unto Christ, and the progression, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Again, you can talk about when they were filled with the Spirit, when they spoke in tongues. You can go and read Paul about the gift of the Spirit, all nine. But there's a purpose behind the power, and that purpose is always going to be to preach the gospel. Just like Paul told Timothy, preach the word. That's what the power is given for, to empower us to preach the word. But let's take another look at John the Baptist and what he did and what he said. In John chapter 1, it tells the story. In verse 6, it says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And in verse 7, that man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's what we're to do. We're to be like John the Baptist. We're not the light. We're not the Savior. We're not the Messiah. We're not the Lord. But our message is to say, just like John the Baptist, hey, he's coming. Look at Jesus. Don't look at us. Don't look at our church, our denomination, but you need to look at Jesus. You can start at verse 29 and pick up from there. The next day John saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And again later on in verse 36, he said it again, behold, the Lamb of God. And two of John's disciples, they heard what John said, and they did exactly the obvious thing. They left John and began to follow Jesus. Again, that's our message, to preach Christ. And that's the purpose behind the power.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.